for curb appeal that lasts, shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The new owner described Keith before he ever asked whether the building might be haunted. He mentioned an older man in a blue work shirt who appeared near the office after closing. The man never spoke and was never clear enough to see for more than a few seconds, but he seemed to be watching the service bays as though checking the work before leaving for the night. Keith had been dead for 8 months. His daughter Jennifer didn't know how to respond. Mitch had purchased the repair shop from her family shortly after Keith's death, but the two barely knew each other. Their conversations had been limited to paperwork, equipment left in the building, and a few questions about the heating system. Mitch clearly felt uncomfortable contacting her. He explained that unusual things had been happening for several weeks, and he wanted to ask about the shop before assuming anything. Jennifer listened as he described tools being moved overnight and a radio turning on when no one was near it. Mitch had initially blamed his employees, but some incidents occurred when he was the only person in the building. Then he began hearing footsteps crossing the service bays after the doors were locked. Jennifer asked what the man looked like. Mitch described gray hair, a heavy build, and the blue button-up shirts Keith wore almost every day. The figure had appeared only twice, always near the doorway between the office and the first service bay. That was the spot where Keith had stood whenever he checked the shop at closing. Jennifer thanked Mitch for telling her and promised to call him back. After they hung up, she sat at her kitchen table and tried to decide how she felt. Part of her wanted the man to be Keith. Her father had opened the repair shop more than 30 years earlier. Jennifer had grown up there, spending Saturdays in the small office while Keith worked on cars. She remembered the smell of oil and tires, the sound of the air compressor, and the radio playing from a shelf near his workbench. As an adult, Jennifer had stopped by whenever she had time. Even after Keith officially retired and turned most of the daily work over to another mechanic, he continued visiting several mornings a week. He claimed he was only checking on things, but everyone knew he missed the routine. Keith died unexpectedly at home. One evening, he complained of feeling tired and went to bed early. Jennifer's mother found him the following morning. The suddenness left the family with decisions they weren't prepared to make, including what to do with the shop. None of Keith's children wanted to run it. Jennifer felt guilty about that, although her father had never expected her to take over. Mitch had worked as a mechanic for years and wanted a place of his own. Selling to him felt better than closing the business or emptying the building for another use. Mitch kept most of the equipment and retained two of the employees. He changed the sign, repainted the office, and reorganized the tools, but the building remained a repair shop. Jennifer had visited only once after the sale. Seeing someone else's name above the entrance had been harder than she expected. She left after a few minutes and hadn't returned. That evening, she called her mother and told her what Mitch had reported. Her mother was quiet for a long time. She wasn't frightened by the possibility that Keith remained at the shop, but she didn't find it comforting either. Keith had spent his life worrying about work that needed to be done. If he was still checking tools and locking doors after his death, that didn't sound peaceful. Jennifer had been thinking the same thing. The following afternoon, Mitch called again. He had spoken to the employees and neither admitted moving the tools or turning on the radio. One of them had also heard the footsteps but assumed Mitch was still in the building. Mitch emphasized that he wasn't trying to undo the sale or blame the family. Nothing had been damaged and no one felt threatened. He simply wanted to know whether Keith had done certain things when he worked there. He asked about the radio first. It sat on a shelf above the old workbench and was included with the equipment. Mitch usually left it tuned to a rock station. On several mornings, he found it set to a country station instead. Twice it had turned on after he shut it off for the night. Jennifer knew the station before Mitch told her. Keith had listened to it for years. He turned on the radio every morning when he arrived and left it playing until the last bay door closed. Jennifer could remember him singing badly beneath the sound of engines and complaining whenever one of the younger mechanics changed the station. Mitch then asked about the tools. He kept wrenches on a rolling cart near the second bay. Someone had begun returning them to hooks on the wall beside Keith's old workbench. Mitch moved them back, only to find them hanging on the wall again the next morning. Keith had been particular about his tools. He believed everything should be returned to its proper place before anyone went home. Jennifer felt a chill move across her arms. The details weren't proof. Mitch knew Keith had owned the shop, and anyone might assume an older mechanic listened to country music and kept his tools organized. Yet Mitch couldn't have known which station Keith preferred or the exact wall where he had always hung his wrenches. Jennifer agreed to visit the shop the following evening after it closed. She told herself she was going to help Mitch find a normal explanation. The radio might have a faulty timer while the employees could be moving the tools without realizing it. Footsteps traveled strangely through large buildings, especially after the machinery stopped and every noise became more noticeable. None of that explained the man in the blue shirt. Before bed, Jennifer searched through a box of her father's belongings that her mother had given her. Near the bottom, she found one of his old shop photographs. Keith stood in the doorway between the office and the first bay, wearing a blue work shirt with his name stitched above the pocket. Jennifer stared at the picture for several minutes. Then she called Mitch and asked whether the man he had seen stood with one hand resting against the doorframe. Mitch said he had. Jennifer didn't sleep well that night. For the first time since her father died, she wasn't wondering where he had gone. She was afraid she knew exactly where he was. Jennifer arrived shortly before 6 the following evening. Mitch had already sent the employees home, and the final customer was pulling away as she parked near the office. The new name above the building still felt wrong, although Jennifer knew selling had been the right decision. Mitch had repainted the sign, but the service bays looked much as they had when Keith owned the shop. Inside, the familiar smells affected her more than she expected. Oil, rubber, and metal carried her back to the Saturdays she had spent doing homework at her father's desk. The office had been painted and some furniture moved, but Jennifer still knew which floorboard creaked near the filing cabinet. Mitch showed her the radio above Keith's old workbench. It was turned off and tuned to the rock station he normally played. He had marked the dials with a small piece of tape so he could tell if someone changed it. His tools were on a rolling cart near the second service bay. Several empty hooks remained on the wall where Keith had arranged his wrenches from largest to smallest. Mitch checked each exterior entrance while Jennifer walked through the building with him. The main entrance, rear exit, and three bay doors were secured. They were alone. For nearly an hour, nothing happened. Mitch finished paperwork while Jennifer sat across from his desk. They talked about Keith and the early years of the shop. Mitch had met him only a few times before purchasing the business, but he respected what Keith had built and hoped the family didn't mind the changes. At a little after 7, the radio turned on. The sound reached them from the first bay. When they approached the workbench, the dial had moved away from Mitch's mark and rested on Keith's favorite country station. Mitch unplugged it. Jennifer looked at the empty hooks beside the workbench. The familiar music made her sad. It felt less like a greeting from her father than the beginning of his usual closing routine. The first footstep came from the far end of the building. More followed, moving slowly across the concrete from the third service bay toward the second. Jennifer could picture Keith making the same walk, checking each work area before turning off the lights. The footsteps stopped beside Mitch's tool cart. A wrench shifted against the others with a faint metallic scrape, rolled across the top, and fell to the floor. Mitch picked it up. He explained that he usually discovered tools on the wall when he arrived in the morning, but he had never watched one move. Jennifer took the wrench and hung it on one of the empty hooks. The footsteps resumed, moving away from the workbench. A moment later, the overhead lights above the third bay went out. Then the second bay became dark. Mitch hurried to the electrical panel, but the switches remained in the proper positions. Jennifer knew what was happening. Keith had always shut down the shop in the same order. He started at the farthest bay, walked toward the office, and turned off each set of lights behind him. Before leaving, he checked the bay doors and returned any misplaced tools. The first metal bay door rattled as though someone had pulled on the handle to make sure it was locked. The second and third doors did the same. The lights above the first bay went out. Only the office and the area around the workbench remained illuminated. Jennifer stood near the doorway where Mitch had seen the man in the blue shirt. The air felt cooler there, and she had the strong impression that someone was behind her. She turned, but no one was there. Jennifer spoke her father's name into the empty shop. The building remained quiet, and then the office chair rolled backward across the floor. The chair stopped near a narrow storage closet. Mitch rarely opened it because it contained things left behind after the sale. When Jennifer opened the door, she found Keith's blue work jacket hanging from a hook. She recognized the dark stain near one pocket and an old patch stitched above it. Jennifer had assumed the family brought all of Keith's clothing home, but the jacket must have remained hidden behind several old uniforms. On the shelf beneath it sat a ring of keys. Mitch had found them in the back of a desk drawer. Most no longer fit anything because he had replaced the locks, but he kept them in case one opened an old cabinet. Jennifer lifted the key ring. The worn leather tag attached to it had belonged to Keith for as long as she could remember. He carried those keys every day, even after retirement. A sharp click sounded near the front of the building. Mitch checked the entrance. The deadbolt had locked on its own. The office light flickered, and Jennifer caught a brief reflection in the window beside the door. A man in a blue shirt stood behind her near the desk. She turned, but the office was empty. The reflection had lasted less than a second. It might have been the jacket hanging inside the closet or Mitch moving near the doorway. Yet Jennifer had recognized the shape of her father's shoulders and the slight angle of his head as he looked around the room. The figure hadn't appeared angry or confused. He had looked tired. Jennifer took the jacket from the closet and folded it over her arm. She carried the keys with her when she and Mitch left the office. They waited in the parking lot while he locked the entrance again. No lights remained on inside, and the radio was silent. Jennifer understood why her father might still be there. Keith had spent most of his life believing he was responsible for everything inside that building. Even after retirement, he hadn't known how to stop checking the work, the tools, and the doors. Death, apparently, hadn't changed that. Jennifer told Mitch she wanted to return the following evening, but this time, she would come alone. Jennifer spent most of the next day questioning whether returning alone was a good idea. Nothing she had witnessed felt threatening. If the figure in the office had been Keith, she didn't believe her father would ever hurt her. Still, standing in the darkened shop while tools moved and doors locked by themselves had left her more frightened than she admitted to Mitch. She called her mother and described what had happened. Her mother wasn't surprised that Keith's jacket and keys had remained in the building. During his final years, he often forgot where he left things, but he always knew exactly where to find the shop keys. Jennifer explained why she wanted to return. If Keith was still checking the building every night, she needed to tell him that the shop was no longer his responsibility. Her mother agreed. She asked Jennifer to tell him that she was all right, too. Mitch closed the shop early that evening and waited until Jennifer arrived. She carried Keith's jacket and keys inside, along with the photograph she had found at home. Mitch offered to remain in the office, but Jennifer believed she needed to be alone. He gave her his number and told her he would stay nearby until she called. Once Mitch left, Jennifer locked the entrance behind him. The silence inside the shop felt different without anyone else there. Machinery no longer hummed, telephones didn't ring, and the ordinary sounds of work had disappeared. Jennifer could hear the building settling around her and traffic passing outside. She placed Keith's photograph on the workbench. In it, he stood between the office and the first bay, wearing the same blue jacket she had draped over her arm. Jennifer hung the jacket on the back of his old chair and set the keys beside the photograph. Then she waited. For nearly 20 minutes, nothing happened. Jennifer began to feel foolish. Her father might not appear simply because she wanted him to, and the previous evening's activity might have been a collection of coincidences made meaningful by grief. She walked through the shop, touching familiar places as she passed. There was a small dent near the second bay where Keith had once backed a customer's truck into the wall. He blamed the poor lighting for years, although everyone knew he had been distracted. Near the workbench, his initials remained scratched into the edge of a cabinet. Jennifer hadn't noticed either detail during her visit with Mitch. She returned to the chair and began talking. At first, she told Keith ordinary things. Her mother was managing better than any of them expected. The house felt empty without him, but she had family nearby and wasn't alone. His grandchildren still talked about him, and no one had forgotten the stories he repeated so often they could finish them for him. Jennifer told him they had sold the shop because none of them could run it the way he had. She worried he might have seen the new sign and believed they had given away something that mattered to him. They hadn't. They had found someone who respected the business and intended to keep it open. The radio clicked on. Jennifer stopped speaking. The cord remained unplugged from the previous evening. Still, the radio produced a low burst of static. The sound faded, returned, and settled into the country station Keith had always played. Jennifer looked toward it but didn't move. She told her father that Mitch knew how to close the shop. He could take care of the tools, customers, and doors. Keith didn't need to check his work or remain there after everyone else had gone. A footstep sounded near the third service bay. Jennifer turned toward the darkness. Another step followed, then another. As before, they moved slowly across the building. This time, Jennifer didn't retreat to the office. She stood beside the workbench and waited. The footsteps stopped several feet away. Jennifer could see nothing in front of her, but the air changed. It carried the faint smell of Keith's aftershave beneath the stronger odors of oil and rubber. She hadn't smelled it since sorting through his clothes after his death. Her fear eased. Jennifer told him that his work was finished. She said her mother wanted him to know she would be all right and that he didn't have to stay for any of them. Whatever he believed he still needed to do, he had done enough. The keys moved on the workbench. They slid less than an inch before becoming still. The worn leather tag turned toward Jennifer and the metal ring caught the light. She picked them up. For a moment, Jennifer thought she saw movement near the office doorway. The shape of a man stood in the same place where Mitch had seen the figure and where Keith had posed for the photograph years earlier. It was only a shadow, barely darker than the room behind it. Yet Jennifer felt certain her father was there. She thanked him for taking care of everyone for so long. The shape disappeared. At the far end of the building, the third bay door rattled, the second followed, then the first. The lights above each bay went out in the same familiar order. Jennifer listened as the footsteps crossed the shop one last time. They passed the workbench, continued into the office, and stopped near the front entrance. The deadbolt clicked, and the radio became silent. Jennifer remained beside the workbench for several minutes, but nothing else happened. The shop no longer felt occupied. The heaviness she had noticed near the office doorway was gone, leaving only an empty building after closing. She folded Keith's jacket over her arm, picked up the photograph, and carried the keys with her. Before leaving, she turned off the final office light. Mitch returned after Jennifer called. She told him what had happened, but made no promise that the activity was over. She didn't know whether speaking to Keith had helped him move on or whether grief had allowed her to find meaning in the familiar routine of an old building. Mitch understood. He was simply grateful she had come. Over the next several weeks, he sent Jennifer occasional updates. The tools remained on his cart. The radio stayed tuned to his station and never turned on by itself. No one heard footsteps after closing, and the man in the blue shirt didn't appear again. Months later, the shop was still quiet. Jennifer gave Keith's keys to her mother, who placed them in a small wooden box with his watch and wedding ring. Jennifer kept the blue jacket. For a while, it hung in her hallway closet, and the faint smell of the shop remained in the fabric. She never decided whether her father had been trapped inside the building. That word felt wrong. Keith had stayed because leaving work unfinished had never been part of his nature. If something of him remained at the shop, Jennifer believed he only needed to know that everyone would be safe without him. The business was in good hands. His family was moving forward. At last, Keith could do the same.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the Instant Oil Change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the Instant Oil Change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest.
and there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the Instant Oil Change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluff Mobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Oh my gosh, you can't be serious. You think making the pick is the hard part? No, it's not. The pick takes like 3 seconds. You know what's hard? The sweat. The time between locking in and cashing out. Yeah, you have a take, but in the end, it's not about the winners or losers. This is about us, man. Whether we're brave enough to sit through it. Don't fight the sweat. Live in it. Because you are an underdog. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.